right. Very good. Thank you, ladies. Romans chapter 15 tonight. Romans chapter 15. And on Wednesday nights, we've been going down memory lane a little bit from to messages that were preached, years and years ago. And many years ago, I talked through the book of Romans here on a Wednesday night. And we're going to go back to Romans 15 and draw a couple of verses here out of this chapter that kind of came to my mind as I've been over in Madagascar a little bit. And look at verse number 31. Actually, 30 and 31 and 32 is where I'll be tonight. All right, chapter 15, verse 30, where Paul said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed." And you know, we've down through time here, we've heard lessons taught by missionaries themselves on how to pray for missionary families and for missionaries on the field doing work. And I think it was at last year's conference, Brother Bowman actually gave us an entire message on that, how to pray for missionaries. But, you know, being in the country for, 26 days, maybe 25 days, the longest we've spent in a foreign country, you really get a real appreciation for things that need prayer attention from people back here in the States. And so some of what I'll say tonight, you probably have heard from other missionaries and their perspective. This is just the perspective that I picked up on, and it's an outline that I used a different way in the book of Romans many, many years ago. And so I just want to talk about that. And again, maybe it was just the fact that we were there in the country for a while. But, you know, when we highlight these four families in the service on Wednesday evening, I trust that you will, you know, not only pray for them fervently, but just as important, knowledgeably as well. And you get prayer requests given, you know, when we go through their letter, you get prayer requests. We do the Sunday night, which we'll do this coming Sunday night, pass the letters out again, I guess, and look at the, you know, the requests that are mentioned there. A person can be very fervent in praying, but all the while being very generic in their requests. And fervency is important, but targeted specific praying is also. Really praying with a targeted purpose, okay? Now, you see that here in this letter. When Paul was finishing his letter to the Romans, he asked them to strive together with him in prayer. One thing to note, the end of verse number 30, he said, "Strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." So Paul did not expect the people to do all the praying for him. Paul was striving in prayer for his ministry, and he asked them to join him in that effort. Now, it would be really kind of foolish for missionaries or for anybody, for that matter, to have a prayer request, "Hey, pray for me about this, will you?" and yet never pray themselves. You can't depend on somebody else to do all your praying for you. Nothing wrong with asking people to help pray about something, but that's what Paul said here. He said, "Look, join me in praying. I'm praying for my ministry. Now, would you join me in that?" He was striving in prayer for his ministry, and he asked the people to strive in prayer with him. And that was what he did here. So, Ben and the church family over there, they do. One of the things we did was we had prayer breakfast over there with the men. And I told some of the people it was a kind of a mixed bag while we were there. We did a 7-day vacation. Well, travel was about six days, but, you know, travel back and forth. We went to the southern part of the island and did a little vacation with them. And then the rest of the time was pretty much ministry related. I spoke 13 times, and that didn't include the prayer breakfast that I spoke at for just a few minutes. They had kind of a revival fires type conference where other Malagasy preachers came in, men that Ben has met and befriended over there. Really some of the young men, one older man. But they didn't have morning services. They had evening service. They had afternoon service. We started at 2 o'clock and finished it before 7 because all the bus transportation ends at 7. So if most of those people travel by bus. They don't have cars. A few of them have cars, but not all of them. And so that's how we did it. And it was kind of a joint thing. And we had a prayer breakfast before the revival / family conference and all that started. And so I know that they spend time praying as a family. I know they spend time praying as a church. When Paul asked them here at the book of Romans to join him in praying, he gave four specific requests in verses 31 and 32 that they could pray for him. And so that's, I want to look at those quickly tonight. And these are good targeted ways to pray for mission. I know some of you do. We saw the Jurtberg family, okay? Jurtbergs are back in country. They've got the five kids that Richard and Charity had before Charity passed away with cancer. Remember, she died 2 weeks after that fifth child was born here. And yet now God's given Richard a wife, Ruth. They've had two babies and a third one on the way. So they're going to have eight kids. So they got a pile of kids there. We saw them. And we saw who else was I going to tell you about? But anyway, I forget somebody was going to tell you about somebody else. We saw the Jurtbergs, saw the Browns. You don't know them. Another missionary family, the Burdettes, another missionary. We kind of got together on July the 4th. And had a little get-together as Americans there for just a short time. But look at this here. Verse number 31, Paul said, pray that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Jews. Oh, I was going to say, the Jurtbergs mentioned that we know that people back in the States pray for us. And they mentioned some of you specifically by name who've contacted them by way of email. So I know some of you use that missionary prayer book. And maybe this will be a little enlightenment on targeted praying for missionary families. First of all, number one, that physical safety, okay? That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. So Paul faced physical danger from those who opposed his ministry. And there's still potential for that in a lot of countries today. In fact, missionaries that we support and have supported have gone through physical trouble. You know, remember Tom Vineyard and Matt Litson when they were in Ivory Coast and they were attacked by the guerrillas over there, and they were beaten up, and things were stolen. And then you had the Murillos when we were with Bob. Of course, Bob and his wife are now in heaven. But when I was there in Guadalajara preaching on the Sunday night service, the last service that I was there, their house was broken into, but a bunch of things were stolen. Here, well, you remember just a few months ago, Ben's garage was broke. All of his tools were stolen. I'm thinking of Scotty and Darlene Rackley that are now in South Africa. When they were in Madagascar, they were broken into at night. They believed that the guard was in on that. They were attacked in their bedroom. He was cut. Ben and Ashley were telling us a little bit more about that. They were in complete shock. They ransacked the house, stole some things, threw things everywhere. And when Ben and Ashley got the call at 2 o'clock in the morning, they actually went there, and Scotty and Darlene were both outside in their pajamas. And he's bleeding, got blood all over himself, and where he got stabbed with a pitchfork that they brought in. And so, you know, things like that still go on. And most of our prayers for missionaries include a request for physical safety, and that's necessary. That's really, really helpful. And when you talk about a third world country, there's so many other things that can go wrong, okay? Not just physical danger, but, you know, I mentioned about going over there and coming back and not being sick and spending that much time in country and not being sick. And I'm not kidding, folks. That's not, you know, Bill Graham went there one of the times he went to see Ben and Ashley. Bill Graham had to go to the hospital, have an IV because it's dirty. It's just filthy dirty. And I mean, I don't mean to be, but there's people urinating on the side of the road all the time. Just, we went visiting in these areas, and you got open sewage running. And I know, you know, some of you that have been to Africa, maybe Brother Bragg, you've kind of known this kind of stuff, but it's actually real. So there can be sickness from unclean water. Water has to be filtered. You know, even to brush your teeth, you can't get the water out of the faucet. You can't use the water out of the faucet. You got to remember to take a little cup in with you. I asked if I could help Ben do something, and he said, yeah. He said, you know what, you could count this money for me. And then he said, no, you can't. He said, it's Malagasy currency. He said, it's one of the most easiest way people get sick here is they touch that currency and just the stuff that comes off of it and the fumes. And they get sick from handling money. They get sick from food not cooked properly. You know, we were soul winning on Saturday morning. I'll say more about that maybe Sunday night. We made some visits, and the man came, a young man that Ben's been working on for the first time to the service this past Sunday, devout Catholic man. And he was waiting on us to come. And hospitality is a huge thing in those countries. And so he's got all these cakes and tea, and he goes to get it. And Ben says, "Dad, you can't drink it. You can't eat it." And it's almost, you feel bad. It's almost an offense because of their hospitality. But, you know, we said, you know, we're going to take some home, and he'll probably eat it later. The key word was probably, all right. So so we got around it, okay. And I was going to preach in just a couple of hours. And he said, "My dad doesn't like to eat or drink much before he preaches," which is true. We didn't lie, but we stretched it as much as we could, okay. And so just, you know, and I was thankful. Safety while driving. I mean, we were driving one night after dark. And, I mean, there's no street lights, folks. So there's no lamps, you know, it's... And here's a drunk. He's a drunk. He's staggering, and Ben almost hit him. And there was a missionary family some years ago, a different denomination or whatever. But he hit that man hit and killed a pedestrian. And they of course he stopped, and the people dragged him out of the car and beat him, and to that point he had to be hospitalized. And so you got all these type things going on in these third world countries, you know. And in certain countries, they face persecution from the leadership of the main religion that is practiced by the majority of the people. They don't want the gospel in their country. They have people oppressed under their control. They don't want people free. When you know the truth will make you free. And those in bureaucratic offices can make it hard on them with unreasonable red tape. And the mindset in these countries especially is that all of these Westerners have money. And, you know, to them, every Westerner does have money. And they got to find a way to get it. And, I mean, they got this new property, and it's about, I don't know, it's about 25, 30 yards off the road, which is not a bad thing. And I say you take a road to get there. I'm talking about a dirt road from the main road, which is main road, don't think Armor Road here, okay? Anyway, they're about 30 yards off with rocks and stones and dirt, and they wanted to put a sign up for their, you know, to let people know where their church is. And so they got a great big banner and put it up across there, and they wanted to put one on the wall here of this little business. And so they went down and said, "Hey, can we put a sign up on the wall here just to advertise that our church is here in the area?" And they said, "Yeah, that's no problem if you'll fix our wall." And so they had to repair this wall, this block wall, to put a sign up on it, because everybody wants, you know, something from the Westerner, the white people. That's what it boils down to, the Westerners. So there's always the need of prayer for safety. And Paul wrote the Romans. He said, "Look," he said, "pray for me that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. They're not for us. They're against my message. They're against the ministry." And so it's always right to pray for physical safety. Number two is what I call ministry advancement. Ministry advancement, okay? And look at verse number 31 again, okay? He says that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. So Paul says, strive together with me in your prayers. Here's what I'm praying for. You can join me in praying for this. I'm praying that I'll be delivered from those that don't like me in Judea. Okay, and then I am praying that the service, the ministry that I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Now, this is a reference to the offerings that Paul took for the poor believers in Jerusalem from all the churches that he ministered in, where he started. And he really took this part of his ministry seriously. Everywhere he went in those Gentile churches, I told you that over and over again, we need to help the Jewish saints. We benefited from them spiritually. They should benefit from us materially. And he took this offering very seriously. And he wanted the offering to be received by the people. He didn't want them to be offended by it. You say, why would anybody be offended by an offering? Well, most of it came from Gentile believers. The bulk of it came from Gentile believers. And so here comes Paul. He's got this money for these poor Jewish saints. And most of it came from Gentile believers. And he just says, pray that this goes well. Because it wasn't their idea, it was his idea. God put this on Paul's heart. And so he says, pray with me that my ministry, this ministry that I've undertaken for these people will be accepted. Now, our missionaries, they're not involved in that type of specific ministry today. But the application can be made for whatever their ministry needs are as well. And there's always the need of prayer for the ministry to advance, to move forward. I think in the area of the salvation of lost souls, that is always a great prayer request for your missionary families. All right. Help them to see souls saved. Isn't that what they're there for? They're there for the gospel's sake. Okay. Now, in the countries where idolatry and animism have such a stronghold on people, the need for prayer is great. People, superstitious practices have been passed down through their cultures for decades of time. That we're just not used to that here. But I'm talking about superstitious cultures, and I won't even go into all of them tonight. But you remember me telling you how, once a year they go and they take the bones out of the tombs because the entire family is buried in that tomb. It's not just one person's bones. And there could be bones in there from generations past. And some of them obviously have disintegrated, but those that haven't, they go and they take those bones out. And they burn incense and they put it over their doorways. And I asked Ben, I said, you preach against all that? He said, oh, yeah. I said, you got people that practice it? He said, I don't know, Dad. He said, it wouldn't surprise me if they still practice some of that stuff. And I preached to him about how it's so connected to, but it's in their, it's ingrained in their culture as much as eating a hot dog and a piece of apple pie is to you, but it's even more, it's deeper than that. That's very light. It's part of their culture. And when you're going in and you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ that delivers them from all that type of bondage, and it's just a different. Now, and this past Sunday, we had two adult ladies that were saved in the service this past Sunday. And that was very encouraging for the people. There was 170 folks there Sunday morning. That included some people because some people that came for the conference. It was kind of a pastoral thing. Some of them actually stayed over for the Sunday morning service. Okay, and so we had maybe 15 people from outside. But I mean, I wish, and I didn't get a picture of that. That tent was jam packed with people sitting on the outside. And we had two adult ladies saved in that service. So that was a blessing. Just the salvation of lost souls is always necessary. That's why they're there. Okay. They're there for the gospel's sake. And then there's the growth of new believers. The need for teaching and discipleship is great. I saw church members after the Sunday morning services. I saw church members going through lessons with people who've been saved recently, just like we do here. And so they had people come in and they sat one-on-one. They had these discipleship lessons. And again, the difference in those type countries that they face in that ministry from those people there that from what most Americans go through, again, is related to family pressure. It's a different kind of pressure. It's an incredible kind of expectation. And so many things that could come to mind. If there is a father, mother who are up in years and they have a house and they have kids that live in the area, married kids, and they die, then the house is, if they got four kids, a fourth of the house goes to each kid. And the four kids, families are expected to move in with each other. it's bizarre to us, but to them it's how we live. That's how we do things. And so one of the Malagasy preachers that came to preach, he stayed over and he taught the men's class on Sunday morning. That split session for Sunday school, and he taught the men. And he's a Malagasy. He's a young man in his early 30s, and he has a family, four boys, mid 30s, I guess, has four boys, and his mother died in France. Just before we got there, his mom died in France. And I think that happened while we were there. I think he got, I know he did. Ben got the phone call. We were there one night before the conference started. And his mother did not die of COVID, but she was positive for COVID when she died. I don't know if they tested her after she died. I don't, I don't, I But they wouldn't allow the body back into Madagascar, so they cremated it in France. Just burn it. And now, you know, so they got the family, they got to get the ashes, they're going to get the ashes back. And he had to go, and he's the oldest son, so he had to have this, they had to have this big family meeting. He's the only one saved in his family, the only one saved in all that family. And they got all these abominable, devilish, superstitious, animistic practices. And he's got to go meet with the family, and they got to work all this out because the expectation, you're the oldest son, you're in charge. And it's just, it's ingrained in their culture. And to just get them saved, they wouldn't be able to enjoy the Christian life to its fullest, just like here in the States. And to get those people to grow and separate themselves from that type of cultural, those things that are tied to demonism, it's not easy. You and I think, well, man, you get saved, you just, it's, Brother Bragg, I didn't understand all that. It's just, it's how they've lived for years and years and years and years and years. And so, you know, God bless the missionaries, help them to have good services. Well, you know, there's more to it than that. Okay. There's the salvation of lost souls. There's the growth of new believers. There's ministry growth. The ministry itself to grow, you know, for Ben and the ministry now, the building is the major prayer need. And, you know, I didn't realize this, but, you know, there is an unbelievable respect that comes with the church having their own property and their own building. And it's like people saying, y'all bought property? Y'all bought property? You own property? That's what everybody is saying, you know, as they go out and visit, tell people to come see our church. We're on our property. We got a tent. You own property. So it's a real big thing to people. It's just a huge thing. And, you know, but the process can be frustrating. It can be, it's unions. No, not there. And, you know, a group of workers, you know, they come at 7 o'clock in the morning. They're going to work for 8, 9, 10 hours. Okay. And they're going to do the foundation. They're going to, you know, get the concrete. There's no big truck, folks. With a big mixer, pull the truck in. And there's 300 bags of concrete stored on the property, all mixed by hand. They have 77,000 bricks to put that building up. 77,000 bricks. I picked a brick up. It compared to the brick here, and they're making brick right now. They're making them out of mud. We saw it everywhere. They're making them out of mud right now. And so the workers get there, and they work an hour and a half, and they run out of something. Well, here in the States, you know, you run to Menards or Security Lumber or Lowe's, pick up a couple of boards or a tube of caulk or whatever you need. Keep on working. They don't have any money. And they got no store. So they just stop. And they sit there until somebody from the church comes by. What are y'all doing? Oh, we need a hoe. Okay. And so somebody from the church, but they ain't got no money. Nobody's got a dollar. And so somebody has to run to the store and buy a hoe and bring it back. Now they start back to work again. And so it's like somebody has to be there, you know, almost all the time, or nothing happens. And they've got to break up this old foundation because, you know, they don't know if it's a two-story building, and they don't know if it's sufficient to support a two-story building. And they got to go in, and thank God they do have jackhammers. And they do have that. And there's some rebar in there, but it's going to be hauled off by oxes in carts. That's how they're not going to have a dump truck or a front end loader. You know, the old oxen, you think what kind of a mess that's going to make on the parking lot. You know, I mean, they're going to have the ox drawn carts up there, and they got to, you know, and I'm not making fun of them. I'm just saying it's so foreign to us. It's so foreign to us. It's their way of life. They think nothing of it. That's how we do. And so they're going to, so that really is a big ministry need right now for them, is just this building as they move ahead. So physical safety, Paul prayed for that, asked for prayer for that, and he prayed for ministry advancement. He said, join me in praying. Third thing is in verse number 32, as I want to call this one, desire accomplished. In verse number 32, he says, that I may come. By the way, you see that word that? That's what Paul said. Pray with me, strive together with me, that, okay? That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. So the desire accomplished. Paul sincerely wanted to go to Rome. That was the deep desire of his heart. He did not want to go there for tourism or business purposes. He desired the opportunity to go there to minister to those people. And he felt it was the will of God for him to be there. And that's what Paul lived for. Paul lived to do the will of God. And the driving motive for a couple or a family to pull up from their country and culture and their family and move miles away, the driving motive behind that, folks, is the will of God. They believe with all of their heart that God's will is for them to be where they are. And they want to accomplish God's will while they're there. And Paul asked for prayer concerning his desire to do the will of God. This is the will of God for me. And because it is, I want to fulfill it. I want to see it accomplished. You know, and we hear it often, but truly, the place of joy, the place of contentment, the place of fulfillment for a child of God is living dead center in the will of God. Dead center. And no matter if it is if it's in the luxury of a modernized industrial country with in that type of culture, or if it's in the difficulty of a third world country and culture, the will of God is the necessary element to bring any person joy. And they want to see something. They want to see that will accomplished. They want to go there and just spin their wheels. You know, we have so many good things as far as just family. Just Joyce really got to spend some time with Ashley. That's necessary. Ashley's parents, you know, her mom almost died. And folks, you know, this is, you know, they have not had physical contact with family for 3 years. And, you know, well, missionaries, you know, 100 years ago, they didn't know if they'd ever see him again. Exactly. But that's not how it is now. Now there's planes. Maybe no bags, but there's planes, okay? There's planes. And, you know, the expectation for most missionary families on the field is that they'll get a visit from family. But it's been, you know, it was 1 month shy of 3 years with all this COVID nonsense. And Ashley's mother was in the hospital. I don't know if we mentioned that enough or not, but Cheryl Finn was in the hospital for weeks, almost died. And the husband Joe had a bad, bad heart attack. And I know we talked about that. He would call Ashley and she'd call him and say, I don't know what to do, because he's just recovering himself. She said, Ben, I need to go home. Well, you can get home, but you can't come back. What's he going to do with five girls? Go crazy without a wife. And so it's been, and it's not just for them. I'm talking about our missionaries. I'm talking about missionaries around the world. It's been an intense time. And you know, he said, Dad, I look at 14 years here and I've only got one church started. I said, don't give me that. Only? There's some guys that go 14 years, don't have anything. And I'm going to tell you what, folks. God's given him a good church. Six men came to that airport Monday night at 10:30 at night. Six of them on their own, just to say goodbye to me and my wife and to carry our bags from the car to the airport. Six men. It's humbling. It's humbling. And I want to see the will of God done. Now, it does not mean that in the will of God there won't be tears and a sense of loss. I'll tell you what it does mean. It does mean that the hardship of living outside the will of God won't be experienced. And that's a greater, that's a better loss than any loss you have in the will of God. to lose the hardship of living outside the will of God. Living outside the will of God is where people suffer greater tears and greater loss. And young people, I canceled the kids' classes tonight. I wanted to see y'all. I wanted to see the workers. I wanted to see Al. I hadn't seen Al and Abby. I wanted to see Scott and Linnea. I was going to see Brian, but I know he's not here, so. But you are, Leslie. And I wanted to see the kids. And I know they're disappointed. And I get it. You know what? I'm glad they're disappointed. I'm glad they're over here going, thank God we're not in class tonight. But, you know, I want to say to the young people, at some point, the wise young person has to purposely lay aside the desire for physical ease and financial gain and their self-will and develop a burning desire to do God's will. That's primary. And that's what Paul said. He said, I believe it's the will of God for me to come see you. So I pray with me that I can see that accomplished. I don't want to just spin my wheels in life for things that have no eternal purpose. None. So Paul asked him, you strive together with me in prayer for my physical safety and my ministry advancement and to see my desires accomplished to do the will of God. And then the last thing at the end of verse number 32, he says, and may with you be refreshed. That's spiritual encouragement. So Paul was looking forward to the fellowship of God's people. That's what he's looking forward to. Even the Apostle Paul needed spiritual encouragement from time to time. He was not a bionic Christian. Paul was not a bionic Christian. And he needed refreshment. He needed refreshment from other believers. And, you know, we had this, see what they did, this Wednesday through Sunday thing, and it was part these pastors coming in, and he had a Malagasy preacher preach at 2:00 to everybody. And then we had split sessions, and I taught the men, and Joyce taught the ladies, and I taught ministry lessons to the pastors and the laymen that were there, and she taught to the ladies, and then I would preach the closing service. They had a break for tea and coffee and cake, and then I preached the closing service. That was, you know, and then on Saturday afternoon we did two split sessions, and question and answer that was supposed to go 30 minutes and went an hour and a half, I think. And so where was I going with all that? Oh, second night after the Thursday night service, one of the laymen that came from the church in Anceta Bay, another town, he came to me afterwards and he said, Pastor, he could speak a little English. My family is broken, very broken. My family, I know now why I'm here. My family needed this meeting. And one of the young pastors told me, he preached on Thursday afternoon, and he told me that he was going home Friday. And he said, I after the service Thursday night, I know why I came. In so many words, I know why I came. But they need encouragement. It's a tough life. It's a tough life. And they need encouragement. And our kids and grandkids really enjoyed our visit. You know, a visit from any fellow Christian from their home church or country is always helpful. But when that visit is from family, its benefits are multiplied. And I really appreciate y'all. Nobody said a negative word. You know, and all I heard was, Dad, from Brother Luke, Dad, everybody I've talked to, the people are really glad you and Mom are staying as long as you're staying. I appreciate that. We had just wonderful times together. The last night, Madagascar is on the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to flights. Flights come in at 11 o'clock at night. They go out at 1 o'clock in the morning. That's it, what it is. So we're going to the airport, you know, at 10:30 Monday night. The little girls have to go to bed, so Ben gets all of them together. And, you know, and everybody say what they like most about Papa and Mimi being here, you know, and we were talking, and he said, the thing that I have enjoyed the most is, we get up early in the morning, just Dad and me, and we talk. The laughter, the advice. Last summer we were supposed to go. COVID, country's closed. They were so disappointed. But he said, Dad, he said, I know now why you came this year. Because the things we talked about weren't even going on last year. So he said, I know now. And Joyce got to really, I think, help Ashley. And we shared tears and it was all helpful. And, you know, with the girls getting older, boy, oh boy, there's relationship there. You know, when they're 2 and 3, it's, you know, oh, I love you, Papa. Can I have a sucker? You know, I mean, it's, you know. But the older girls, you know, that last night they put the little girls to bed. We were sitting around talking and Nellie came over and said, Papa, can I sit in your lap? And the goodbye was absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. But we talked to them a little bit this afternoon, and they're very encouraged. Very encouraged. And they said very well, very, very just encouraged. And, you know, that's not new. That's as old as Paul said, when I get there, I'm looking forward to being refreshed with my visit. So when you pray for your missionary families, and I know many of you do, maybe that's 4 things that I picked up on. And it's interesting that Paul nailed that in his letter to the Romans. And thank you for those of you. I know some of you have taken those books and you go through them faithfully, asking God to be with those folks. So maybe something that was said tonight. And it's not the same in all countries, okay? But those third world type countries have a specific, no doubt a specific thing. So let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. Father, your work is the most vital work in all the world. No matter if it's done by somebody that we think is full-time, or by somebody, Lord, who makes their living another way, teaches a class, passes out a tract. Your work is the most vital work in all the world. And I thank you, Lord, for a church that has people in it who take seriously this matter of praying for those people who have gone overseas. And I pray that, God, that we'll be a little bit more mindful now when we pray on Wednesday nights and Sunday night for our missionary families, like tonight, the Spillmans and the Steers and the others, Lord, that slipped my mind right now. I didn't know about Clint, and I just pray that Clint will be okay from that accident, and I'm thankful nobody died. And, Lord, help them and Ron, help him and Rhonda tonight and the kids. And, Lord, thank you for this church. And, Lord, we don't know how much time we have left, but we want to stay busy till you come. And bless our missionary families. Give them physical safety. Help them to see ministry growth. Help them to see their desires accomplished. And may they stay spiritually encouraged. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If anybody...